When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the 1865 Match Report. So I'm Baz, and I'll be joined by Tom and Adam as we record this the day after Forest made it through to their first League Cup quarter-final since 1994. In what ended up being quite a feisty match, Steve Cooper opted to bring back the first team after that demolition at Blackpool, and only Gustavo Scarpa kept his place. And we lined up with Henderson in goal, Bolly and Worrell in the middle with Loddy and Aurier outside, Froyle, Mangala and Yates held the midfield with Scarpa, Jono and Gibbs-White up front. And Gibbs-White, playing against his old club, made the first goal with a corner. Bolly reacted fastest after the corner went in and he poked the ball into the goal. Wolves reacted strongly and forced several saves from Henderson, including two really good ones. But Forrest started brighter in the second half, Gibbs-White having a shot saved, and then he put in some fancy footwork to meet Aurier, whose shot was blocked. Bolly got injured. At one point, it looked like he was going to need a stretcher to take him off, but McKenna came on to replace him. But straight after that, Wolves reacted best to the change with a quick breakaway, a pinpoint cross, and Jimenez puts it in the back of the net. Wolves seemed to dominate most of the rest of the match, but Emmanuel Dennis and Jack Colback, who both came on as subs, they combined, Colback almost scoring when his deflection bounced off the inside of the post. And then with it raining quite heavily, the game broke into some angry scenes as Wolves thought they deserved a penalty towards the end. But it remained level at the final whistle, leading to a penalty shootout, no extra time. Surridge, who was also on as a sub, he missed the first penalty, but then Henderson saved from Ruben Neves. Froyle, Worrell, Gibbs-White all scored. We'll talk more about Gibbs-White later. And then as did Wolves. So the final penalty, the final two, it was up to Jack Colback to put it away, which he did. That put all the pressure onto Wolves' Joe Hodge, but Henderson was up to the task and saved it, which means Forest are now through to the semi-final and a date with Manchester United over two legs. Watching all the action last night was Tom Newton. So how was it for you?
Very good. With the result at the end of it, I thought first 25 to 30 minutes, I thought Forest were on it on the front foot and everything. Then Wolves just started to grow into the game. And towards the end of the game, without being too negative, I thought Forest were just hanging on in there. Because, and I think it's just the fact that Wolves have been a Premier League side for the last few years. So it's a matter of that they could bring Daniel Pedence on, Cunha, Ruben Neves and Adama Traore. Then when you look at our bench, no disrespect to the players what come on because they did a job and got us over the line in the penalty shootout. But we brought on Sam Surridge, Chap Colback, Manuel Dennis and Scott McKenna. And they were good squad players, but they're not in the calibre of what Wolves can bring on. And I just thought that, towards the last 20 minutes, they were really turning the screw. I just thought it was just wanted penalties and it duly happened.
So, you say we were on the front foot at the start of it. So was the style of play like similar to like the second half against Chelsea then? So we're like pressing high and that kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Johnson got in a couple of times and combined with Gibbs White pretty well. And we all knew Gibbs White was going to be up for playing against his former club. Scarp got on the ball early. And yeah, it was like a really decent press. Yeah, just as the game went on, and especially when Ruben Neves come on, they were a lot quicker and coming through the lines and everything. And there was a couple of times where we had won the ball, etc. But then Mangala was sometimes guilty of giving the ball away and everybody's pushed on. Then obviously was scampering back. And I think if they had a striker, I mean, Raul Jimenez is been decent, but if they had another striker, they probably might have finished the job off last night because they got into some really good positions, but just didn't finish it off. And then Henderson's made some brilliant saves from the South Korean guy. Hee-wee Chan.
Yeah.
And Jimenez. So yeah, on another day, they could have finished that off and we could have been out the tie.
Was it us tiring or was it them just being better or having more experience?
A bit of both, really. A bit of both. I mean, we pressed really well in the first 30 minutes and etc. But yeah, then they start to grow into the game. Neves comes on, and no disrespect to Ward, but I'm surprised he's still there because every time I've seen him, he's been a really special player. And I would have thought he would have gone on to bigger and better things by now, but obviously it hasn't happened. And yeah, I thought Wolves under Lopetegui, they look a lot better side. And if they do get a strikeout, I think they will pull away from the relegation zone.
I know that the manager got a yellow card in the second half. But it seems to be that one of the things he's brought to them is a bit of fight and a bit of spirit.
Yeah, he wears his heart on his sleeve, does Lopetegui. And I mean, he's probably still in a rage after that goal wasn't given at Anfield on Saturday in the FA Cup. But yeah, he's got them fighting and really pumped up, and he doesn't sit down. And I think Wolves have got a really good manager in Lopetegui.
just quickly then, so with the penalty incident. So I didn't watch the game, but so how did you see it with the thing at the end that sparked all the arguments?
Unfortunate that it wasn't given. I've seen them given. And I don't think VAR was in operation last night because I think it would have gone straight to VAR. And I think it, depending on the referee and what was said with the VAR referees, I think it would have been overturned. But some are given, some aren't. And if you remember last season, a lot weren't given compared to what was given last season, especially with Johnson. So, yeah, it was clumsy at best. From Dennis, he's made not really a great much attempt to win the ball, and I think it's contact. But some are given, some aren't. So we're probably fortunate last night that obviously it wasn't given.
Yeah, and I suppose from Wolves' point of view, it's a bit much to have that twice in a row.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wolves players or ex-Wolves players. Just a word about Willie Bolly then, because he seems to have grown into his... Well, I can remember at the start of the season me going, what the hell have we bought here? Because he seemed to be a bit all over the place, but he seems to be making himself quite essential.
Yeah, and I think that goes down to the coaching staff of what they want from Bolly. I think too much, when he first came into the side, he was trying to play. I think he was like Beckenbauer when he ultimately wasn't. I think the coaching staff has just told him just to stick to your defensive attributes of what you're actually good at. And he's been rock solid. And I just hope he isn't out for a long amount of time because him and Walt, since coming to the side, I think it was against Spurs in the Carabao Cup, they've been pretty much solid, to be honest. So, I just hope it's not a long-term injury because Cook and McKenna, they've had their... frailties this season, and Nick Carty, we don't know when he's back. So, yeah, we're looking a bit short at centre half at the moment.
And then Worrell, obviously, as you say, he was quite solid himself, which again is an improvement from the start of the season where he got quite a lot of complaints from people.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing from Steve Cooper is like he's took him out the side and he's probably evaluated what he needs to do to be a really decent defender in the Premier League, and he's gone away, probably worked on his game a bit more. And apart from the only grievance recently of Warren is he probably let that ball come into the area against Chelsea a bit too easily from Pulisic. But all in all, Warren's been pretty solid with Bolly at the back. Then obviously Aurier and Lodi, who I think at the start of the season, I don't know if it was the language barrier or getting used to how we're playing, but he's been brilliant, Lodi has, in the last few weeks. And Adama Traore come on, and Lodi had in his back pocket at the end of the day. He's been a really, really good player, and hopefully that will continue for the rest of the season.
That's nice to know as well, because Traore's pretty fast.
Yeah, he is. He never got away from him last night. He really didn't. And sometimes they did double up on him. But they managed Traore really well.
What about the midfield then? How's they play? I want to have a quick word about Ryan Yates in a sec, but about the other two. Ryan's one of those players, I think, if you don't notice him, then he's had a really good game.
Yeah, he conducts and organises around him. He is a decent player. Like I've said on previous podcasts, you do not get over, I think it's 50-odd caps for Switzerland if you're a poor player. And they've been pretty decent at tournaments in recent years. And, I like him. I do. He's not like the most flamboyant player, but he does a job in there. And Yates is in there, who other teams they mentioned it on Radio Nottingham last night, that Yates must be horrible to play against because he's niggly. He wins, I think he's in the top four of winning the most free kicks in the Premier League this season. He just breaks up play, and he's becoming a really good player with the ball now. And hopefully that will continue again. And Mangala at times, he broke up play pretty well, but then when you want to play a pass, he just gave it back to Wolves, and all that good work, what he's done, it's been undone with just a simple 5-yard pass gets intercepted, then we're scampering back, and that got a bit annoying a few times last night.
Well, yeah, I was watching the highlights, and the thing I noticed was pretty much all of Wolves' chances seemed to come from a missed pass from him, which is worrying.
Yeah, it is. And I think when you got the... Because at the moment, we're not seeing as much of the ball, and we can let them have the ball quite a few times over a period of a game, but... Yeah, when you do have it and you've won possession, we've got to make it count, and you can't just keep giving it back to the opponents. And if you're out of position, teams will punish you in this league. And I know it was only the cup last night, but Wolves were still a Premier League side, and they've been pretty decent over the last few years. So, yeah, we've just got to improve a lot better with the ball.
A quick word on Gustavo Scarpa, because I've not seen him play yet. I've not seen him in the flesh. So he's intriguing me.
Pretty decent. He come on against Southampton last week and had a good 60-odd minutes or whatever it was. Blackpool, I don't think he was helped with the personnel around him. Then last night, he got on the ball quite a few times and trying to make things happen. But I think he came off after 60, 70 minutes or so. I think it's just a matter of getting the fitness into his legs and getting used to the intensity of the, against Premier League teams.
And the rumour is we're after another player from Palmeiras, so we're adding to our little Brazilian contingent as well.
Yeah. We'll be watching Brazil soon, won't we? With all Samba boys coming over from South America.
So I need to touch on this because obviously we got pretty much taken apart by Blackpool the other day. This was 10 changes. Scarpa, the only player that kept his place. It shows that actually, despite all the newspaper and press talk, media talk about us signing so many players, we haven't actually got that much depth in there, have we? And you touched on it there with what we could bring on from the bench.
Yeah, at the end of the day, and I don't want to be negative at everything what's happened in the last year, but as a Premier League side, we're the least developed Premier League side in terms of, like, Brentford have been in there a few seasons, and if you, Wolves come up and they've added and kept adding over the years, and Fulham have obviously, they've gone down to the down from the Premier League into the Championship and back again, and kept the nucleus of their side, who are basically battle hardened for the Premier League. We haven't had that. So the first 11 is pretty decent, because of where we are in the Premier League and what we've done. Okay, we've had a few drubbings along the way, but I think that's part of the learning curve. But beyond that, I'm thankful for what the players have done over the last 18 months, but we haven't got the strength in depth, to be honest. I mean, when they can bring on Daniel Pedence, who's played in international tournaments for Portugal, when they can bring Cunha on, Adama Traore, who's had a stint at Barcelona, and Ruben Neves, who, like I said, I'm surprised he's still at Wolves. When they, you can bring that player quality on, and we haven't got that. I think it's going to take us a few transfer windows to get to that standard. And the squad, like I said, the first 11 is pretty decent. But beyond that, once we've had a few injuries, etc., I think we are scraping the barrel in terms of matching up with the quality of other, what other Premier League sides have.
And we have to remember that actually for most of the last, whatever, 10 years or so, we've been at best a mid-table Championship side. So to expect the squad to be able to suddenly grow and deal with that.
Yeah, and when we're on any horizon of success with a certain player, we've sold them. And I think that's just been, unfortunately, the name of the game for Forest in recent years. And I think in the last few years, we've dealt with that quite well in terms of if we've had to sell somebody, then we've replaced them, i.e. if it's a loan signing. So I know Matty Cash went and Christie come in, but then we replaced that position with Jed Spence, who was phenomenal last year. So we kind of got over that. But yeah, this season, if we stay in the Premier League, we've got to keep growing the squad. And if that means like fringe players who have done well for us in the past have to leave the club, then I just think that's just, it's just one of those things. If you want to grow as a football club, then you've got to strive for better. And if certain players are not good enough, then unfortunately, so be it. It's just the name of the game.
And I think, yeah, you have to have some sort of rotation just as much to keep people on their toes a bit as well.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a few people around me last night who were saying, oh, come on, Johnson, press. And if you see what Brendan Johnson does in the game, you cannot run yourself into the ground. Because if you run yourself into the ground, you got to know when to run, when to not run. And it's on looking at somebody from the stand, looking at Brendan Johnson, you think he's lazy and everything. But if he runs himself into the ground and runs on every opportunity, he's not going to be match fit, is he, for the game on Saturday against Leicester?
And that's the worrying thing about the size or the depth of our squad is, yeah, we've got some pretty big games coming up. And yeah, we're going to end up relying on the same 11 players for all of them. But
yep,
that's how it is, I guess.
The 1865 Match Report.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to 1865, the
Nottingham
Forest podcast.
Dean Henderson. So, a couple of outstanding saves. Obviously, penalty shootout hero. But he can't play against Man United. So, where does that leave us?
Well, if Man... I'd take a gamble. If I was Forest hierarchy, I'd take a gamble. No disrespect to Wayne Hennessy, but he's a number two for a reason. And he's done a job for us this season, but our undisputed number one is Dean Henderson. He doesn't want to go to Man United for what he said. At the start of the season about broken promises.
Man, David De Gea, don't want him. Ten Hag doesn't want him.
Yeah, David De Gea, if he does leave because of obviously how big his contract is, they're going to get a goalkeeper of European standard. So if I was Forest, I'd just put a bid in.
Yeah, because we can get him in before whatever, the end of January.
Yeah, exactly. And just take a gamble. I mean, sometimes you have to take a gamble in the world of football. And if it was a championship club, then I'd say no, don't take the gamble. But and I know we've got to be a bit box clever when it comes to signings, and we can't make many failures in the transfer window. But when you're in the Premier League, you've got that bit of like, they cut you a bit of slack, don't they? So we probably can afford to bring Dean Henderson in. But on the other hand, it hasn't really worked for Manuel or Dennis, and I think that's been a bit of a disaster. That, so we can't keep doing it. But with how Dean Henderson's played at the start of this season, I think the best thing is for us to sign him permanently, because he looks like he loves playing here. How he was last night, banging his chest where the badge is and everything. And he's not going to get, like we said, when he's not going to get to Man U. So if I was Forest, I'd put in a bid for him.
And just on that, so yeah, as you say, he obviously looks like he's enjoying himself. He's, I like a keeper who, as they say, has a bit of character about him. He was winding up the Wolves fans, and he was giving it all in the penalty shootout. He was not quite Brice Samba level, but not far off. That's something I'd like to see. The only question mark I've got about him is really his distribution.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got, what is it, 78-yard wide pitch, and he puts it right on the touchline, and sometimes it goes out of play. And he needs to polish up that side of the game, because Samba was brilliant, wasn't he, with his distribution, etc. So if he can do that, look, he's still a relatively young keeper. If he can do that, then obviously it's another string to his bow. We've said it last season, didn't we, with Samba. He's a prick, but he's our prick.
Yeah.
And Henderson is starting to become... I know he's not technically ours in terms of contractual, but he's a prick, but he's our prick. And I love how he winds up the Wolves fans and everything. And he tried to... And he got the Forest fans going, didn't he? And I think he absolutely loved the penalty shootout. And we've seen it previously, haven't we? He's safe from Declan Rice. He's safe from Harry Kane. And I think the only penalty he's let in this season, well, I know it was a hard miss, it was Ruben Neves, and obviously he put that goes to rest, didn't he, with the save from Ruben Neves last night.
So speaking of winding people up then, so we have to talk about, so there was a brawl at the end of the match, and Morgan Gibbs-White, obviously with the Wolves fans. So we discussed this very briefly before the podcast. We've been, it's on our group chat all morning. Morgan Gibbs-White and the Wolves fans, there doesn't seem to be much love lost there. And his reaction after scoring and the rest of our team and how they've supported him, that seems to have triggered a few things with people.
Yeah. With Gibbs, I don't get it. Because he's from Stafford, so he's like, I think it's the Black Country, but so he's born and bred around that area. He's come from the youth ranks. He started the season. From my knowledge, he never asked for a transfer. And Wolves fans saying, oh, he's no good, he was this and that and everything. He brought them in 30 million quid and he gets all that stick. Then I'm not like saying, two wrongs don't make right and this, that and the other, but Willie Bolly openly said, I do not want to play for Wolverhampton Wanderers. And and that's how we got him, and he got cheered off, and Gibbs White got all the absolute pelters. I didn't get it, and then when he was walking for the penalty, I thought because he missed, they didn't take the final penalty for Sheffield United at that end. 3,000 Wolves fans or whatever were there giving him the bird. And I thought, just stick the penalty away. Then he got mentioned on radio Nottingham last night, and that Steve Cooper was asked about his technique in the run-up. Yes. And he says, well, if that's what he wants to do and he's comfortable in doing that, who am I to say not to do what he did? But it was quite a funny one, wasn't it? Because the Wolves fans below me were like cheering, saying, thinking Jose Sarr saved it, and he just nestles into the corner. And then he obviously puts his fingers to his ears. And you see, there's a camera angle of, you can see the front of Morgan Gibbs-White, but there's one which is behind Morgan Gibbs-White. You see all the Wolves fans and giving him the bird and everything. And I do love that. And I think sometimes footballers become a bit like robots, and I do love that bit of banter and et cetera. And we had it from Henderson, we had it from Samba last season. And I just love that side of the game. And if you remember from years gone by, every time Collymore scored in front of the, if he was obviously playing away from home and he was scored in front of the home fans, and he used to give it the big end. I love all that. And I think sometimes, you know, like football's like missing a few characters in the game. So yeah, I love all of that.
I also love the fact that Colback and Henderson, they chose to join in with what Gibbs White did as a, like a show of solidarity.
Yeah, I saw that. And Cunha did it, and it didn't really work, did it, with him doing it to the Forest fans. So he tried to jump on the bandwagon, and I can see why Henderson and Colback did it for solidarity and all that.
So we've also got Adam's view on Gibbs-White and the Wolves fans, which he had a bit to say this morning.
The Gibbs-White situation does make me laugh, because you've got to consider it like this, right? At the start of the season, played for Wolves, and Wolves fans, he's not good enough, you know, he's this, he's that, you know, he's not got any product, he's not going to do anything, he's not going to come in to this Wolves side and make a difference. Forest are really interested in him. Steve Cooper's a massive fan of him. We bring him in, right? The fee gets branded around Sky Sports and all this sort of stuff, and 9 times out of 10, it's completely wrong. And the way that the fee's structured is always... the headline is, oh, it's £40 million for Gibbs-White, and it's not. We all know that. And at this point, by the way, even if it was £40 million, I wouldn't care. I'd be perfectly fine with that, considering how young he is and how talented he already is. But the Wolves fans then, when they sell him, so you've got this player, you don't think he's good enough, you sell him, and then you get him out of the club, you know, you've got what you wanted, right, he's left. Then tag him and mention him on Twitter or whatever, every social media platform, to say, good riddance, the money is, you're not worth that, you're not worth this, you know, it's ridiculous they paid that much for you, blah, 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 blah. Now, football players, and modern day footballers, you know, you'd be naive to think they don't look on social media, right? In an ideal world, they wouldn't, right? But they do. Everything that Morgan Gibbs-White, that was put about Morgan Gibbs-White by these Wolves fans and stuff, he has seen, right? He's 21, 22. Of course he's seen them, right? So he sees all of this. And, you know, when we played Wolves last night, again, stick from the fans. Yeah, loads of stick from the fans, even though he only left for 13 minutes, which he wasn't going to get at Wolves, right? So loads of stick from the Wolves fans. Every time he goes over to take a corner, loads of stick, shouting abuse at him, all this sort of stuff. He then scores his penalty and decides, I'm just going to wind them up a little bit. And I've seen Wolves posting, oh, it's disgraceful, it's disgusting, it's unprofessional, it's vile. I'm thinking, On a human level, would you not understand why you want to do that? Would you not understand why you'd be frustrated about the way that Wolves fans have treated him in general? It's not been fantastic, has it? Like, and maybe as a wider point, if a player celebrates against his old club and they've given him no stick whatsoever and they've clapped him on the pitch and all that sort of stuff, you'd probably be a bit like, all right, mate, like, we've given you everything you wanted back. But the amount of abuse he's had, I mean, I saw vile stuff from Wolves fans on Twitter about him when he joined Forest. Do you know what I mean? So like, I get it. I get where he's coming from. I get why he felt the need to do that celebration. But I don't think it was disgusting. I don't think it was unprofessional. I think ultimately, at the end of the game, and obviously the brawl that ensued and stuff, you don't want to see that. The pushing and shoving and stuff with the players on the pitch. You don't want to see that. And I think both clubs would be fine for that. But the little celebration after he scored his penalty, I think, is perfectly acceptable. And Wolves fans saying it's disgusting is baffling to me.
And then just to sort of counter what Adam ended with there, I would say I'd rather have our players getting involved in a brawl than looking completely disinterested, which, I mean, there have been points over the last 20 years where our players look like they were just there to pick up their paycheck and go off. So I'd rather see them working for each other and maybe stepping over the line a little bit than not stepping up, if that makes sense.
Yeah. At the start of the season, we did look a bit like strangers, didn't we? But yeah, it goes down to Steve Cooper having that like solidarity and fighting team spirit, which is, we've needed it, haven't we? Because obviously we're up against it in the Premier League, first time in 23 years and everything. And they had that team spirit last year, what got us over the line at Wembley. So, and obviously it's taken a bit of time this season, but I think all the players are actually buying into what Steve Cooper wants.
Yeah, brilliant. However, it's going to get us in trouble with the FA, definitely.
Yeah, so, but at the end of the day, it's just a fine, isn't it? And I mean, yeah. All right, it brings us a bit of bad press, but it's one of them, isn't it? So,
yeah, I'd rather that or staying up and making progress.
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely than anything else. So, so that's that. We're through to the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup.
Semi.
So that's the first one this millennium, which is pretty good.
It's actually the first one. It's the first semi-final of the League Cup since it was the Rumbelows Cup back in 1992. And if you watch the game back on YouTube, I think it's on there, the full game.
Yeah,
I've only watched bits of it. I haven't been that much of a geek to watch the whole game. But yeah, check out Roy Keane's bullet header. Yeah, absolutely takes the net out. Yeah, one in extra time back in the old White Hart Lane.
Yep. Well, I mean that's the thing is, we've got quite a busy January coming up. So we've got Leicester on Saturday. We've got Bournemouth away after that, and then we've got Leeds at home at the beginning of February. And as I said last time, those are all three teams that are right sandwiched with us. So getting some points on the board for them is going to be really important. But we've also got these two games with Manchester United to come up. So our squad or the depth of it or whatever is going to be really, really important. However, we're going to be there with the match reports. We hope you can join us. So thank you, Tom. Thank you, Adam, and especially thanks to you for listening, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.